All right, guys. So Hollywood is going broke. People working in Hollywood are going broke. They're finding jobs in other industries. How did those strikes work out for you? Not very well.
It went exactly as we said it would.
And yeah, it did. And that explains why this time around the WGA and SAG-AFTRA, they agreed pretty much to the first offer. They took that first offer because they're like, you know what? We're not going through this again. We can't afford to go through this. And you can trace a lot of the unemployment in Hollywood right now back to the double strikes that crippled Hollywood. And now the studios are like, you know what? We're not playing. And we're not greenlighting a whole bunch of stuff either because, you know, a lot of the stuff wasn't making money anyway. So now we have a good excuse to just cancel a bunch of stuff. Unfortunately, a lot of people are out of work in Hollywood. And we're talking not just actors, but screenwriters. We're talking, you know, people that are below the line workers. A lot of them are out of work. We've covered people, you know, moving out of California completely because they can't afford to be there anymore. And also it's a hellhole. But so we're going to talk about this article coming from Wired that we have a Hollywood writer. Yeah, they're basically helping train AI to make money now. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, basically said a bunch of these different people that were screenwriters and stuff like that are now doing gig jobs. This is waiting tables. He said he did 20 soul-crushing contracts for 5 different platforms, training AI, doing things. He talks about some of the stuff he's doing, and he learned about it on a writer's WGA, you know, Facebook
WGA
forum.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he talks about that. So we're going to look at that here in a minute, but before we get into any further.
Before we get into any further, please subscribe for more pop culture news, views, and rants. Guys, you'll get woohoo if you do.
Woohoo.
This is Neon. I am here with Geeky Sparkles.
Hello.
And if you'd like to get more of us, go out to more, more.clownfishtv.com. This episode brought to you in part by our reefers at clownfishtv.com. If you'd like to become a reefer, go out for a few bucks a month, less than a super chat. You get access to the reef and you get access to paywalled content. In fact, I just dropped a new episode this morning. You will not find on YouTube. So thank you very much for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll talk about this, that they're being used to train AI. And also this article is from a couple of weeks ago. Another Hollywood writer. I used to be a Hollywood writer. Now I'm lugging lumber from Home Depot. It's an upgrade.
Yeah, he's works as a contractor. And he says he likes it. He's happier, he said.
Yeah.
So this is person talking about his username and then the number, depending on who's paying them. And he's going on, if you go down, you can talk about some of the things he's been working on. He's an AI trainer. He assesses whether a chatbot's tone is natural or flat or annoying and identifies patterns of pictures of furniture. And basically he did things like, you know, generate anime sexy and decapitate young women.
What?
So all this stuff, coax LLM into giving him recipes for bombs and stuff like that. So he's doing like, you know, quality control apparently over this AI and to see what they'll do, what they won't do. But
okay.
Before that, he was, and he still is, a Hollywood writer and a showrunner. And he did primetime
stuff. Holy hell.
On Paramount, Hulu, and the BBC. So,
okay.
And now he's doing these things. So you go down here a little more. He talks about where he found out about it. Yeah, he said in 2023 about the strike. We talked about that, how they're worried about AI, and it went on for 5 months, and what went longer than that. And then they talked about how he was a producer defaulted on a 6-figure check I was owed.
Oh, my God.
And he had to basically keep the bills paid.
Yeah.
So he went to agree. He was in his, you know, WGA America Facebook group and saw that people were looking for AI, workers in AI. So that's what he went and started doing because, you know, hey, I've got to pay somehow. I was in search of food. Some of the things people were saying. I am stressed, anxiety ridden, simply trying to breathe. In search of food, info, part-time jobs, AI training company. And a woman typed in the comments, they're paying $150 an hour for writers. It's easy money. $150 an hour? Man, maybe should we look into that, you know?
Yeah, right? $150 an hour, holy hell. Yeah, so it's pretty desperate out there. And, I mean, we've seen some Hollywood celebrities. We didn't cover it in a video, but there were some celebrities going to OnlyFans now. I mean, it really is not a good situation. It is a matter of survival. And I'm not sitting here like rubbing my hands together like, oh boy, I'm so glad everybody's going broke. But like we said, this was going to happen. We said if you guys go on strike and you basically threaten Hollywood, they're going to push back, and they're going to push back hard. And here we are a couple of years later, and there's so many people out of work. It's unreal.
Yeah. Which we said was going to happen. The ones who get the stay will get more, but a lot of you are going to be gone. And that's exactly what happened. He's talking about, he pays somebody $150 to clean his apartment. So wait, I'm like, dude, you don't have a job, but you can't even clean your own apartment?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a California problem. So he said, yeah, he had to pay $150 to Maggie to clean his apartment. He said, how hard could it be to teach a machine to take my job? I was naive enough to believe that this industry wanted what we had to offer, not just our skills, but us. I was wrong. Whatever this industry is, it's not easy money. And they basically are going to take all of your skills and you're going to put them into the machine, and then they no longer need you.
Well, they're mad. He's mad too, because he got his first contract. But he had to spend 20 hours unpaid doing tests to prove your capabilities, which is very common. I remember people used to get mad if you give them a test page for a book or something to make sure you could draw, which is very typical. Well, you should pay me for that page. I'm like, if I had to pay everybody who did an audition, you know, it's not going to happen. So he had numerous tests, and he had to get interviewed by an AI recruiter agent and everything else before he could even get past this to get to the job.
An AI, that's a thing now, an AI recruiter agent. Bodied by a flickering light on my screen. I was asked what I thought.
Probably screams probably about what is what's
yeah, probably
happening.
Is scream. Like, I'm going to scream. I have no mouth, but I must scream. I was asked what I thought of a mediocre AI generated couple of paragraphs about a soldier in the trenches. At least the person's going over it. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting that they're actually hiring writers to make the AI better so it can replace writers faster.
This is using all the skills I acquired from my English literature degree from Cambridge. I'm like, so what? You got a degree from Cambridge and you're training AI. You know, I have a master's from Columbia in journalism, and I'm going to learn you chuds. And I'm like, so what? You're going to be replaced with AI. You can wipe your ass with that highfalutin degree.
This kind of reminds me of the end of Soylent Green, where the old man commits suicide. And he's basically like giving his body to the factory to turn him into food.
Okay. I never watched it. I'm happy to see it.
Spoiled the ending. It's only like 50 years old. So he gets to watch a nice little movie about nature, and then he dies, and then they ship him off to the processing plant, and they turn him into Soylent Green.
Okay, I could have
That's
gone
what
okay
this reminds me of.
Hearing it. But, you know, so much for your expensive degrees, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's interesting, though. They said, in a midnight Slack message, a team leader snapped that I should not rely on this work. I should not expect anything from it. These are not jobs. These are tasks. We are taskers. So freelance, best thing in the world.
So it's funny because once upon a time we talked about when you like were laid off from the one job and things you were doing, and you were working for you were doing photo reviews for places, and they got mad because you were almost 100% accurate, but you did it too fast, and they were going to pay you too much.
Oh no, I'll come out and say it, because it's been years. This was like, oh my god, it was over 10 years ago. I was actually a Shutterstock photo reviewer, and I would review the and it was just
I can't remember
like,
the place, that's why I didn't
it was Shutterstock. It was before they got sold, but I'd go through the whole meeting, and we had to check in with New York and all that stuff, and that was just kind of like freelance stuff I was doing until like find something better. But, I had a 100% accuracy rating, or almost 100% accuracy rating, but I was very fast, and it was vector art and, images. Mostly I was the vector art guy. So I'd go through like clip art and vector art and stuff like that and look for anomalies. And this is before AI. So people weren't submitting AI images. It was just like, it was this, if they're saying it's a kite, is it a picture of a kite or is it a picture of a dog? Is it constructed well? And, as fast, well, the problem is they paid you per image to review it, and I was too fast. And they're like, oh, wait, this is more than, whatever.
You're accurate.
Yeah. They said, well, we usually break it down to, I think they said it's about $15 to $20 an hour. At the rate I was going, I was making like $30 an hour. And they're like, wait, you can't do that. That's too much money. You're accurate, but it's too much money. So They slowed me down. They deliberately slowed me down.
This person's very, very, very salty about having their Cambridge degree and, you know, being so self-important because they're like, our project manager is an intrepid 22-year-old recent university graduate who said he intended to get into investment banking but failed. He was in charge of about 10 unfriendly team leaders and data managers. And I'm like, so he's really mad. Like, he's like, he's only like a 22-year-old university graduate. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, he's in charge of you.
Yeah.
And he probably didn't pay as much for his degree. Every day at a set time, we would have Zoom office hours where we would discuss the complexities of our tasks and all this other stuff. And they would be kept on a tight leash and subordinate them to the ability to copy and paste verbatim the scoring guidelines. Anyway, basically, they had to rate it. They had to correct it. They had to explain why they made corrections. But, you know, I've made friends with a handsome Swedish man. Whatever.
What does that have to do? Handsome Swede, that's what you call him? Okay, whatever.
And his husband and animals. So what? What's that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
And they shared dog pictures. Basically, this was trying to be a couple hours of work.
Yeah, I clocked in 10 hours a week for 2 weeks with constant stops and starts before the project was unplugged one morning with no notice. Sorry, guys, typed the university graduate. I had no idea this was coming. The Slacks and Airtables and office hours and Google documents were swiftly disbanded. Within a couple hours, the project was over. So, yeah, I mean, this happens. This happens often. They're like, they got what they needed from you. They paid you as little as they possibly could, and then that's it.
So the point about all this is, you guys went on strike because you thought that you were so important. You were so necessary. And we told you, y'all, that's why you wanted minimum writer's room requirements, right, right, and all this other stuff. Because you knew in some way that you weren't that necessary. And we said, those of you that are going to stay are going to get paid better, but a lot of you are going to be gone. And yes, now we're mad because we have to go out and do jobs like this. Then move out of Hollywood. Go someplace less expensive. You have these skill sets in writing and all of these things. There's other jobs you can do that apply to your skill set, but you're going to probably have to go elsewhere.
That's what I don't understand. Like, they're bound to determine, like, you know, I'm going to live the dream. I'm going to live in California and be a Hollywood writer, working in LA, working in Hollywood. And that's great for a time, but like it's kind of over, right? I'm not saying it's over for everybody, but for the majority of people, it's over. And it might be that your career is over and you move on to something else. But a lot of these people never had a backup. And I think that's true of anybody. Like, so many people, their entire identity is wrapped up in what they do.
That's true, but it was years of plenty, a few years of plenty, and they all just assumed that it was going to last forever. And the thing is, a lot of you guys, you don't have to have a backup necessarily planned. But if you look in places you can apply your skills to, you might be able to find a job that either you like better, that isn't stressful, that you can, it's more secure and everything else. But it might require some sacrifices. You might not be able to live where you live. You might be able to go someplace less expensive. But you might be happier. Like, this guy used to be a Hollywood writer, and this whole article, I'm not going to go through it. You can go out to the Hollywood Reporter, but he's talking about how now he works, I think his brother-in-law or brother had a construction company. He was a family member. So he's working for them, and he had to learn. He had to be humble to learn how to do it. But he's since learned and picked up the stuff, and now he's doing it, and he says he feels less, you know, stressed and kind of happy.
Yeah. Because it is a lot of stress. Like any entertainment business, you're only as good as the last thing you did. And if your next thing isn't quite as big as your last thing, then people are like, oh, you're washed up.
Well, it's funny. They're talking about gig work as if it's a bad thing. I'm like, but you came from Hollywood. It's all gig work. Unless you have a deal with a studio that you are on staff for, you might be shuttled from one project to another, but you're completely on staff as a deal that you work for the studio directly and you aren't hired just per show, per movie, per whatever. It's mostly gig work for most people.
Yeah. He said in the intervening months, Hollywood suffered an actor's strike, a writer's strike, a spiraling production exodus, and a content contraction precipitated by the economics of streaming and the rise of creators on media platforms like YouTube and TikTok. Oh my God, they're blaming us. I lost my job working at the production company. My show got canceled. A 30-year career in Hollywood. He was an executive, and he got gone.
Yeah, but he wasn't too good to go do something else, and he did, and he actually likes it, and he says he likes it.
I think a lot of older people think like that, because I always think back, you know, when people change careers or whatever, and a lot of times it happens because you're forced to change a career. Like, most people don't willingly change careers unless they hate their career. If you're doing the thing you want to do for a living, you only change because you're forced to change.
Yeah,
right?
It's because, I mean, a lot of people don't change or don't take the leaps because even if it's something they want to do, because they're worried about the security. They don't want to lose right. security.
But I think back to Carl Barks, who was the Good Duck artist who did the Uncle Scrooge comics, Donald Duck comics. And he kind of fell into doing comics, but he moved to go work at Disney. He was a farmer. And he didn't like working at Disney. He goes out there and he's like, yeah, I hate this. I'm moving back home. I'm going to, you know, miss. And he wrote a letter to Walt Disney, very, very famous letter. And he's like, yeah, basically this sucks. I don't like doing this. I'm leaving. And then Walt offered him the chance to work on the comic books instead. And he could work, you know, wherever he could work at home. But, you know, to him, it was just kind of like a gig. And you look at a lot of these older animators and comic book artists and creatives and Hollywood people in Hollywood. And a lot of them just like left the industry because it was a thing they did for a while, but it wasn't their whole identity. Right. And I think a lot of people now, their entire identity is wrapped up in being, I got to be a Hollywood writer. I got to be a Hollywood celebrity. I got to be whatever. I got to constantly be in the public eye. I'm like, when it gets to a point where you can make more money being a construction worker and not have to deal with all the bullshit.
Well, they said too, you like, you could probably get more time off. You probably yeah. get more, you know, more regular hours. You might not have as much money, but you could be happier and be better off.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, and that's the thing. I think a lot of people, and I think we're going to see this too in the YouTube space, that as things change, as YouTube changes, I think we're going to have people that are going to have to transition back to a more normal life. And I don't know if some people can do it. I think they're going to have to go their own way.
Yeah. They're going to have to go their way because they might have too much ego and they're going to have to go their own way. But I, those that are willing to do it, willing to accept defeat and be like, you know what? This isn't going to work. Those who are like, you know, this guy, he's out there doing gig work, whatever he has to do. And if you're just doing it temporarily, I think you're going to get back and you might not. But if you're willing to embrace the fact that you did it, but it's time to move on. So many jobs can be tied to skills you have that I'm sure you could find something else. And it's not going to probably pay as well. I'm not going to lie and say it is. But it might make some changes in your part. But you might end up being happier, less stressed. You know, you might just find something else that you enjoy even more or, you know, just as much. And if you don't like it, then still keep trying to get back in on the side. You know, you can still do that, but you still have to pay your bills.
Exactly. People forget that, right? It's like yeah. the bills don't stop coming just because you don't feel like working, right?
But that's... I think if you look, you're going to find, especially if you've done a lot of things in Hollywood, you have skills that are marketable in other industries. And you just have to actually apply yourself and look.
We're going to wrap this one up.
Yeah.
Please subscribe for more pop culture news, views, and rants. We'll talk later.
Bye.